And at least the minimum should be that we should be engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sitting in the masjid, making some ibadat wherever we may be, in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the closure of the day of Jumu'ah. Engage in dua. Allah give me and you the tawfiq inshaAllah. Also that Allah has blessed us, we are sitting in the masjid in the house of Allah. So many of our brothers have come in before the azan. It is an encouraging sight. Some places people come in or they don't value the day of Jumu'ah. They don't engage in the ibadat, in worship, in some type of dhikr, etc. And they come very late at the time when the khutbah is about to begin, etc. Because it's become our deen, unfortunately, has become more of a ritual, ritualistic, which is not what our deen of Islam really is. It's a practical way of life. It is ashal, it is the most beautiful, it is the easiest way of life. Way of life meaning how I should be leading my life. And many of us have made deen become a form of a ritual. So we'll recite the Surah Yasin when somebody is passing away or has passed on. Or we will go to the Maulana to ask him for the taweez or something when somebody is ill at home. Or we will frequent the masjid when I'm writing examinations or when I have a marital problem or something like that. Or that's as close as we become associated with our deen, is that we think that we have, a way out when we are faced with a situation or a difficulty. But Allah safeguard and protect us, my dear brothers. Our deen is based on 5 important branches, and every single branch is very important. Imagine it to be like a tree. So you can't hold one branch of a tree and say, this is the tree. This is not the tree. This is the branch of the tree. So like that, our deen is based on 5 very important branches, of which the first important branch is our aqidah and our belief. And this is in our day and age fundamental. In fact, every masjid should be having like daily or weekly, whatever it might be, some classes whereby the musallis can learn about what is the correct aqidah and belief. This is so primarily fundamental that if a person, my dear brothers, has an incorrect belief, then it jeopardizes his entire deen. So for example, I might have heard or read or something, let's just say about paradise, about Jannat, or something about Jahannam. And I have a doubtful belief in regard to the existence of paradise or the existence of hellfire. We have some negative, relationship or connotation or understanding about some ayat of the Quran. For example, alcohol or something in that regard, because we might think that it's beneficial. But so somebody has some different belief, or he has a misunderstood belief instead of what is the correct belief, my dear brothers, it jeopardizes his whole deen. It is very easy to enter into the fold of Islam, but it's equally very easily to go out and be rendered out of the fold of Islam. So if a person denies and he rejects a fundamental principle of deen, then my dear brothers, he'll be fall out of the pale of Islam. He can believe in everything, but if he rejects, let's say the bringing of the ayats of the Quran or some aspect relating to the fundamental of deen which is mentioned in the Quran Pak, which is explained to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he will be out of the fold of Islam. A simple thing like a miswak, which is a established, we reject that, it can make a person become out of the fold of Islam. To what our correct beliefs are with regards to angels, with regards to the pre-books that were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are our primary beliefs with regard to that? Allah give us the tawfiq. The second thing is ibadat, which is another aspect and a branch of our deen. And we all know about ibadat. Our salah, our zakat, our hajj. And you will notice that the ibadat aspect of deen is related primarily to yourself. If you are fasting, then it is only you and Allah who knows. If you are giving charity, you are giving zakat, it's done between you and a Muslim person. If you are performing hajj, you are performing hajj in the Baytullah in Haram. You go to Makkah Mukarramah, there is no non-Muslims there. So it's between you and Allah and the people who know about hajj. So these are basically, you're performing salah, there's no non-Muslims here. All Muslims are here. So we are doing our ibadat, which is related to ourselves directly, and our connection between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what we are required to do as Muslims, that's our fundamental practice. But over and above that, my dear brothers, there are three other branches of deen which we have become neglectful of, which we don't give very much importance to, and which is directly related to ourselves, it's related to people around us, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims, and together with that, it projects who really a Muslim is. It projects what Islam really is. So nobody understands Islam by your giving zakat, because he doesn't know you gave zakat. You gave it to a Muslim person. Nobody really is attracted to our deen because you perform salah. Because in this place there is no non-Muslim. He won't get attracted to deen because you read salah. There are very, you know, remote stories of persons who may be performing the salah with great dedication and devotion, maybe at an airport or somewhere, and then some people see them and they get attracted to them performing salah. But my dear brothers, you won't find a reality of, you know, a story of where many people are attracted to deen because of a person fasting or because of a person performing salah or, you know, a person performing hajj, for example. You won't find that. But you find persons becoming attracted to deen with the other three branches of our deen, which we are neglecting and not taking very seriously. The first aspect is with regard to our akhlaq, our character, my dear brothers. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith he elaborates and says, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent for the perfection, or to show you the best akhlaq. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you look at the different aspects of the ahadith or the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you put on the glasses of akhlaq, and in every hadith relating to akhlaq, you will find the most beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we each one has to, my dear brothers, introspect in his own self, to do an inner, you know, introspection. Like how a person will go, if he's suffering with some problem, he goes for the x-ray. So the x-ray will tell him where the ankle is, probably has some fracture or something like that. In deen also, my dear brothers, we need to do an introspection, we need to do an x-ray of ourselves. And we need to examine where we are lacking, what's our problem, where we are lacking. And if we are lacking in this aspect, my dear brothers, we are causing harm to ourselves. We are causing harm to people who are around us. And then we are also causing harm to the deen of Islam. Because a person is recognized by his akhlaq. So if I have a non-Muslim neighbor, and in one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much emphasized that he said that I thought that a time will come when a revelation will come that the neighbor has a share of inheritance from the deceased neighbor. Can you understand? The rules of Sharia is that the closest person to the deceased, he gets inheritance. To the deceased, the neighbor, the immediate person who lives next to him, it is possible that he would be given a share from the deceased inheritance. Although that's not the rule. But my dear brothers, the emphasis on how we treat our neighbor. So if I have a non-Muslim neighbor, and if I take my filth and dirt and I leave it outside on his side of the road, or I dump it over, or I leave my dirt outside, or even if it's on my side, but I leave it 5 days before the truck comes to pick up the dirt. And we get complaints. We are in the Jamiat, so alhamdulillah, you know, you can say, so to say, We have our finger on the pulse with some of the complaints that people relate to us, and most of it is regarded to these three aspects or branches of deen. So one is the akhlaq of a person. So how a person, his character is with the people who he is interacting with the people who he is managing, with the people with whom he works with, etc. This displays the, you know, the conduct of a Muslim will display what Islam really is. That is why you see in a newspaper when they highlight something, how do they highlight it? How do they zoom on it? They will say that, a Muslim terrorist. They will identify a person by his religion. And why do they do that? Because they want to demonize us. But if you turn it around, and if a Muslim person conducts himself in a manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, instead of it becoming a negativity, it will become a positivity. So the person will be working with a lot of people, but he has a Muslim neighbor. And if somebody speaks ill about Muslims, that they are terrorists, or they are like this, or they are like that, then the person would immediately say, no, hold on, I have a Muslim neighbor, and my child was sick, or my wife was alone at home, and there was some urgency of something that was required, and the neighbor came to her assistance. Or the neighbor offered his car to take the child to the hospital. Or we went on a holiday and there was something that happened at our home, and our neighbor who was a Muslim, he attended to it. And he got the pipe fixed. He got the tap fixed. So the akhlaq of a person is recognized in the manner in which he's dealing with people. And immediately it becomes a defense for our deen. The other aspect, we don't have much time to elaborate, but my dear brothers, the akhlaq of a person. Road rage. Road rage. How a person is driving his vehicle on the highway and somebody overtakes him. Or, you know, somebody hoots at him or somebody. And we're wearing our topi, we got our libas, we got our beard. A person is recognized to be a Muslim in various ways. Sometimes you just dress ordinarily, but my dear brothers, that tasbih you got hanging on your rearview mirror is a sign that you are a Muslim, or this car belongs to a Muslim person. So the manner in which we drive, or the manner in which we park, or the manner in which we go into a shopping center, or we're going to a place where it's quite busy, and how we go in and how we park is a display of the akhlaq of a Muslim. We're not realizing we are not just Musa and Ismail, but we are representatives of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by carrying the names that we carry, by appearing in the libas and in the clothing that we are appearing. Allah give all of us tawfiq. We are weak, but my dear brothers, if we are not going to identify our weakness, then it's like a person who's suffering from diabetes, but he's not making any parades. He's continuing with his eating sugar. So he's eating the poison, which is eventually going to render him to become, completely, his health will deteriorate to a level where it might cost him his life. Similarly, my dear brothers, if we are not going to identify our weaknesses, sometimes people say, oh, these Maulanas, they only talk the same thing. But my dear brothers, if we are not going to identify our weaknesses and make our concerted effort of trying to rectify ourselves, then my dear brothers, we'll lead to our own destruction. The other two aspects, I have very few minutes, which I'll just touch upon, and it's for us to think and ponder about. One is our akhlaq, and one is our muamalat, our dealings. Especially now in this Christmas period, or should I say in this hectic period, busy period, something that we waited for now the whole year. People have not been performing or doing very well. The business now, they have expectations in this period of time. Now, my dear brothers, just in order to make it happen and to make the day or to make the target, sometimes we, let down our guard and we just let anything happen. No, my dear brothers. As a Muslim, we have certain obligations in regards to how we are dealing with people. What commitments we are making. Unfortunately, we get complaints sometime in the Jamiat that a Muslim person did so and so. He sent me a check he promised to make a payment and he failed. The payment hasn't come through as yet. I'm a widow. I gave money to a certain person for investment purposes. But now, non-Muslim lady came to our office. I gave a certain Muslim person some money for investment, but so many months have gone, I'm getting no response. He doesn't take my calls. We fail to, you know, respond to a person or keep a person informed of maybe you are experiencing some difficulty or whatever it might be. So our muamalats and dealings, my dear brothers, we have to be, you know, the people in the past, they were very, what they say, they were 100% with regards to their muamalat, with regards to their dealings. Our dealings in our day and age, I don't know why, we go in computer age, but yet we are not keeping things in order. Sometimes one lady called, she said, my husband was a carpenter, he passed on, I never knew his dealings. Now, people are phoning me, we gave your husband 5,000 rand, we gave your husband 10,000 rand, he was a carpenter, and all of a sudden, carpenters take an advance payment, and now he passed away. Maulana, am I obliged to pay these people because they are asking me for the money that they gave to my husband, and they, you know, he has never told me his business dealings. I'm not aware, he held his, you know, affairs very close to him. So how are we dealing with people, my dear brothers, and what we leave behind us, because death is unexpected, nobody knows. So keep our cards clear. Keep our affairs in order. At least if you don't want to tell your wife, have it written down. Some people say it's not good to tell the wife everything. Don't tell her how much is in your pocket or in your hand. Sometimes I agree with that. But the thing is, at least have it written down somewhere. So your wife also knows she's not dead. We have some people, they phone, they say, what was your husband's bank account? Which bank used to he used to bank with? We say, I don't know. Who used to pay the light account? Where is the light account paid? Where is the account? Where does it come? She says, I don't know. See, it becomes difficult for them. Then the final aspect that I wish to touch upon, my dear brothers, is our mu'asharat, our social dealings and our conduct. With our family members, with our neighbors, with our relatives, with our parents, with our brothers, with our sisters. Many of us are neglecting this, my dear brothers. Now it's so easy. You can pick up the phone and make a call and say assalamu alaikum to your brother who may be in Australia or Canada or wherever it might be. But unfortunately, for some reason, we are lacking in this. My dear brothers, let us utilize this, you know, this advanced technology that is available to us for the advancement and progress for deen, my dear brothers. And it's permissible to utilize it for deen. So Allah give you and I the tawfiq. Let us identify our weaknesses. Let us make a concerted effort in rectifying them. And let us become good ambassadors for the deen of Islam. Allah give you and I the tawfiq.